Chapter 155, Meetings and Lemon Drops. Time flies when you're trying to keep up with Hogwarts' seventh-year curriculum, teach 7 years of students, and research antidotes and dark spell reversal to rescue your mentor from being stone. Harry might have flagged, but his determination of a stressful situation had recently undergone an upgrade. If it was something to do besides look at his own face in the papers, still undesirable number one, he'd do it. Taking a page out of Professor Snape's book, he ruthlessly assigned attention to anyone clever enough to grade homework, and assigned them homework from the next grade down, or set them to setting up obstacle courses for their fellows. Divide and conquer. That was the ticket. At least he and Hermione had the DA, who had been informed of the situation on the first night and had since cooperated in getting detentions to help with homework, and also some evocative screaming to imitate being tortured. Harry took his own turn screaming. It was quite cathartic. Hermione made him stop assigning Ron and Neville detention just so they could scream together, which Harry thought was rotten of her. Some weeks in, Hermione took a moment between classes to drop by and ask, "Polyjuice isn't actually addictive, is it?" Harry blinked at his red-headed sister, pulled his mind out of his persona for a minute, and said slowly, "I'll check." He checked. It turned out most people weren't so able with making potions or so paranoid about discovery as to have it come up much. "I think we need to take the weekend and apparate somewhere we can use our own faces." Which he did not want to do. There was too much to do this weekend, but that was true every weekend. The Quidditch teams, technically banned but reconstituted as unofficial sports clubs that Harry pretended to be blind about, were practicing out the window. Life was awful. Harry and Hermione managed one evening at Grimmauld Place, fencing with Mr. Malfoy about what happened with Voldemort and their plans for the future, before they decided camping in a forest for the weekend sounded very nice. Which turned into a dueling battle with Snatchers because Harry's life could never be simple, but dueling felt easy lately. The team of thugs were unconscious and trussed up, and Harry and Hermione exchanged glances. "I guess we're spending our weekend off at Azkaban?" Harry asked. Hermione sighed. "I've been meaning to check in with the army, I guess." A series of apparitions and a short ferry ride later, they passed the Death Eater thugs into waiting cells for processing. Mary Catterpole saluted Harry and reported, "Ma'am, may I introduce my husband, Reg? He's quit working at the ministry to help out cleaning here. There is a lot of cleaning to do." "At ease," Hermione sighed. "An honor to meet you, ma'am, Mr. Potter," said Reg Cattermole. "Can't thank you enough for all you've done. Who are these, then?"
"Snatchers," said Hermione. "Please try to figure out if they're volunteers or under the Imperius. Those will need separate wings until we sort out trials."
"Of course, ma'am," said Mary. "Anything else?"
"How have things been here?"
"Oh, quite fine. Funny, actually. The ministry keeps sending us Muggleborn, and we just turn around and recruit them. Apparently the army or Azkaban is a winning pitch." Harry was beginning to have a headache, but he had to agree that was quite funny.
"Carry on, then," Hermione said.
Later, Harry said,
"They are take you quite seriously." "I keep wanting to tell them that I'm only a teenager, but it seems to keep them focused. Maybe I could get the order to call me Sir."
Hermione surveyed him.
"Not with that hair."
"Hey!" Harry really was not sure why his hair was the running joke. Hermione shrugged, unrepentant.
"I wish I could figure out what I'm doing wrong with my darkness antidote," he added. "It would solve figuring out who was under the Imperius if I could just lift it."
"Harry, you are trying to solve a problem that's never been solved before without the assistance of a potion master. I've seen you with Professor Slughorn. He can't be that helpful while running away."
It was true that Professor Slughorn had taken to running away when he saw Harry, in as dignified a manner as a man of Professor Slughorn's age and girth could run away. But Harry had thought that was just his face.
I thought that was just my face.
No, Harry,
she sighed. I would have thought I'd see more Dementors about the place, Harry said, to change the subject.
You would think,
Hermione said, and changed the subject to homework. It turned out that fighting a war was long stretches of boredom interspersed with terror, but running a war was mostly meetings. DA meetings, staff meetings, order meetings, army meetings. Harry went to them all, tried to be patient with 100 questions he didn't want to answer and thus didn't, because looking mysterious and twinkly had always worked for Dumbledore, and doodled potions notes in the margins of his parchment. Recounting the minutes of the meetings would be an exercise in boredom, but a few things should be said. Bellatrix Lestrange, as Voldemort's remaining chief lieutenant, seemed to see it as her duty to hold things together in his absence. He was rumored to be on the continent, scouting for some super weapon. They were a little out of date on that one, but not on the wrong track, Harry thought, then offered the sharer of this rumor a lemon drop. Harry preferred the Order's suspicion about him to the army's near worship, but both groups had the same basic problem. The enemy could use magic, too, and unless they wanted to copy Voldemort's habit of raiding people's houses while they slept, it was quite tricky to ambush wizards in ways where they didn't just teleport away to try another day. A bit of cautious testing had demonstrated that the taboo had broken with Voldemort's death, so they couldn't even say the name in a large circle of angry Muggleborn and summon Death Eaters until they ran out of Death Eaters. Small favors included the giants, vampires, and werewolves knowing a bad bet when the leader of your allies disappeared mysteriously, and they seemed willing to fade back into the woodwork. It was tempting to skip order meetings to avoid Moody's idea of an identity test and Mrs. Weasley's idea of an attempt to persuade Harry to stay out of the war from now on, but Harry's natural curiosity won out. And then there was this exchange. So Sirius got us some hippogriffs, Harry was beginning to explain, having decided that they'd keep asking about Azkaban if he didn't give them something. Sirius? Sirius Black? Asked Moody. Yes, my godfather? Huh, thought he was dead. Harry glanced at Remus Lupin, who looked blank. Well, he's not? You sure it's him? He still has his animagus form. Then he's been AWOL from his order duties. Harry considered this. I guess he was busy. Lemon drop?